Blog Talk Radio.
There's something happening here.
Yeah.
What it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there.
Uh-huh.
Telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop, children. What's that sound? Everybody look what's going down.
Hey, this is Sunday, and this is Here Be Monsters. I'm Gwendolyn H. Berry. I'm in South Florida, and with me, usually on a Sunday, is Jack Jodell, and you're in Minnesota, aren't you, Jack?
You bet. Yeah. Hi, everybody. Happy Independence Day tomorrow.
Yes. Happy 4th of July, whatever you intend to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
Today, we're going to talk about patriotism, the state mm-hmm. of patriotism in the country right now. And, of course, we're the liberal or the mouthy or the radical. I think you're a progressive.
Mm-hmm.
And I've just sort of graduated from mouthy liberal to anarchist voice radical, haven't I?
Well, with good reason, I'm sure.
Anyways, that's what we're up to. And hopefully some of our guests will call in today. We were just talking. I was talking to Dusty and Beach is here too. Hey, Beach, how you doing? Happy Independence Day.
Yeah.
Get a chance, call in, join the conversation. Jack and I are sitting here talking about what it is to be a patriot. What is it to you, Jack, to be a patriot today?
Well, it means many things, many of which I'll say are not commonly on vogue or in vogue with certain portions of the electorate. They tend to have a different view of it, but it means respect for everybody else. It means a sense of community. It means a sense of belonging and a sense of loyalty to the ideals that we were founded upon, a desire to preserve those ideals and freedom. It means an adherence to freedom and not the perverse kind that lets corporations have all the rights and all the responsibilities.
By freedom, you don't mean free market, right?
No. That's a perversion. There's no such thing as the free market. They talk about free market this and free market that and free market enterprise. There's no such thing. It's been gobbled up completely by big money, big corporations, big banks, and everybody else is left holding the bag, and they're left with this wimpy little principle of, freedom of the market, and you ought to be able to do whatever you want and without any government interference. The reason there's government,
fair, yes.
That's crazy. The reason the government got involved is because people abused it, and they needed certain groups of the people needed protection from other groups of the people, and that's why the government had to step in and is doing a good job, I would say.
Patriotism. I think that's a great description.
Mm-hmm.
Patriotism, I mean, you learn that. I think the first place you learn that is at home. Your parents teach you,
yeah.
You know, how to act when it comes to, you know, respecting your elders, respecting the people in your community, respecting, mm-hmm. and that's where I got it from, was community.
Respecting others, not just what you want, you know.
A bunch of Republicans taught me that I need to give back to the community that has given to me.
Those were the old-fashioned Republicans.
Well, yeah, they were Ike Republicans.
Yeah, they were good. They were moderate. They were moderate to liberal Republicans.
Well, and they were intelligent.
Exactly.
That's something that seems to be freaking missing from the equation these days. Let's ask 803. The 803 area code is live right
that
now.
That sounds like Beach, maybe.
Hey, guys.
Maybe,
how y'all doing?
Hey, we're doing all right. How about you?
Great. Good to hear from you.
I'm pretty good to hear you. Good to hear you too, Jake. I've had four beers. I'm just kind of I'm just kind of just laying back, relaxing,
enjoying your freedom. Good for you.
What's left of it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true.
How's it going in South Carolina, Beach? I haven't been by to read your version of life in a couple of weeks, and I miss it. You're like a fix you need to get every now and then just to get real again.
Well, Glorious Queen Nikki has had four or five of her vetoes overturned, and this is by a legislature that's dominated by Republicans.
Yeah,
but
right.
Yeah.
Political parties are pretty meaningless here. This state, I think I've written this a bunch of times. This state's never left the 1890s, but
right.
Now on the other hand, I don't think the country's ever left the 1950s. So,
yeah.
We're only 60 years behind the rest of the country. So, but Queen Nikki's attempt to kill educational television, Sesame Street, Big Bird, and all that stuff. It failed. It was overturned. Her attempt to cut Medicare funding in this state has been mostly. There was three of her vetoes up for to being overridden, and two of them I know two of them have been overridden. So she's and plus
good.
there's this lingering suspicion. That well, first of all, she has been paying taxes, which, you know, she's a Tea Party person, so I don't, you know, that doesn't surprise me. But her moral high ground is eroding quickly because there's lingering suspicion that she was getting a little on the side.
I knew you were going to get there. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So yeah. South Carolina is, as always, South Carolina is. It is it's too large to be. I mean, too large to be an asylum, too small to be a republic, so. Hold on one second, Adam. But, that's South Carolina for you. I mean, I'm probably going to be cut off real quick. My son and my daughter have returned home, and I'm probably going to be sent out, tasked out, which is going to be kind of difficult, because I am got a nice little buzz going on. But I wanted to chime in about this patriotism thing. I mean, for the longest time have been trying to hold out some hope that some sort of, if not compromise, some sort of new, some sort of awakening might come about. I have pretty much, I've gotten so cynical. I don't expect anything like that to ever happen. The only thing that's going to save this country is some sort of Egypt-style uprising. I've mentioned that a few mm-hmm. places lately, but I believe the deck has been stacked so much against us. It continues to
yeah.
fall to the plutocrats and the corporocracy.
Especially with the Supreme Court now.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I've been hearing tidbits here and there about Scalia and his puppet. I can't think of the... I have this picture of Thomas being some sort of puppet with Scalia's hand up his ass. So
I hear that.
I don't think anything in this country is going to change until enough of the baby boomers die off, and that includes me. But that there's going to have to be a new generation to come into being. I mean, they're going to have to look quite literally take power. I just don't see anything.
Well,
I mean,
go ahead. I'm sorry. The possibility is too that there's this disaster capitalism that they have been riding on with their, as Tealuck would say, the shock and awe.
Mm-hmm.
Strategy, and mm-hmm. of course I am bringing up Naomi Klein because I just got through the Shock Doctrine, and it's it's unfolding, just as she says, and it's beginning to unfold across this country, and it's
mm-hmm.
basically robbing and pillaging the people
mm-hmm.
for the profits of the corporations and the
mm-hmm.
people who sit on those boards. And
yeah.
I think that with all of what I'll call it earth changes, but the disasters of the elements right now, how they're acting on us and climate change,
mm-hmm.
I think that the possibility, Beach, is that you won't get time to wait. You won't get time to lay down and take the long nap. With all of the calamity that is going on, can you imagine having martial law enforced on you in South Carolina and then having it placed over you for, you know, months and months going into a year? You think you'd stand for that? Do you think you and your neighbors would stand for that, even your...
These people stand for anything. I have little regard for, and I'm talking members of my own family, Leslie Parsley over,
she had a great
mm-hmm.
article today.
I don't think I've seen her. She had several on us going toward, she's had several recently about us tilting towards fascism.
Fascism,
and,
yes.
Yeah,
yeah,
one second.
Point.
And I think we're, I South Carolina's, I mean, I, people, liberals get upset with me because I own a handgun. And because of, I own that because, quite frankly, we're a few hairs away from goose stepping down Main Street here, and or burning people at the stake for insults to Republican Jesus. I mean, this.
One of the biggest radicals I know on the web has that. She carries a handgun, and she's a very liberal woman, that, and I'm sure she wouldn't mind that I said so. She says so over the air all the time. Diane G. over at Wilder Wild Left, the radio
mm-hmm.
show,
yeah.
and the links. I mean, Diane will tell you, we're made up of a whole lot of different people, the liberal, the progressive, and now
mm-hmm.
the voice of anarchy.
Well,
starting
I mean,
that group.
You know, I've got to run in a second. I'm gonna be lynched in a second by my daughter. I believe in the Constitution. I believe in the Constitution. I believe in the Bill of Rights. The problem
right.
is, I'm not seeing anybody on the right who believes in. And in fact, I've got a little bit of a troll haunting my website lately. He lumped Hitler in with Stalin, Mao, and Pol Pot. And I was so livid the man's an idiot. I mean, and
oh, yeah.
I was so livid for because he lumped Hitler. I mean, in
yeah.
with them, he was calling them all socialists, and he's
well,
one of these types.
He doesn't have a clue. He's clueless.
No, he doesn't. He doesn't. He hangs out at Will Hart's website, which Will's a decent guy. He's a little too moderate for a lot of people, but Will's a decent fella. He really is. And this particular individual, he goes by the screen. D-Mark, and he's been haunting my. I pretty much told him to kiss off. I mean, if I wanted any, guys, let me go. I'm gonna try to get back as quickly as possible before the
Beach,
show.
Okay,
but I gotta run.
Do so.
Talk to you.
Have a good one.
Yep, have a good one.
Okay, Dusty, you're live. You're hot. You're on.
How you doing today, Gwen?
Well, hi,
I'm
Gwen. Dusty,
good.
How are you?
And Jack. Hi, Jack.
Yeah.
It's nice to hear you.
Hey, nice to hear you too. How you doing?
Pretty good.
Good.
Just to go back to what you guys were talking about a few minutes ago, like Diane G., I also own a handgun. I've owned a handgun since I grew up with guns. My dad hunted
mm-hmm.
and we ate everything that we shot, and so I've always been around handguns all my life. I also grew up in a family full of Republicans. I was the only left-wing nut job in the group. So I learned to argue at my dad's knee, where his favorite name for me was "you commie pinko bitch." So I've learned how to argue with right wingers since the day I was old enough to open up my pie hole. But so I've been doing it for a long time, and I still argue with him because he's a retired military. I'm sorry.
Hi, Oso.
Hey,
Oso. Hi, darling.
Hi.
But anyway, so, no, I own a handgun, too, and you don't have to be a right-wing nut job to own a handgun.
No,
you know,
exactly
it just
not.
Depends on your reasons for having one and, you know, what you do with it. It's,
that is the crux of it right
it,
there.
As long as you don't take it into the street when you're going to make that walk with the crowd to the middle of the
street. Well, yeah, and I never, mine never leaves my house. My handgun never leaves my house. It's for protection.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
And that's and I do believe if you want to look if you want to look at the far end of the spectrum, you know, Armageddon might be coming. You know, if the Republicans get in office in 2012,
mm-hmm.
and they start cutting all the programs, we're going to see all the poor people in the urban areas that are starving to death. They're probably going to have no alternative but to raise up. And God help us all if they do that.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
God just being the generic term. You know, I'm not saying anything different, but.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
you're very
the whole thing about
correct there, Colin.
but I noticed I was reading this. I was writing an article today about Charlie Dent, who's a Congress critter from Pennsylvania. He's a Republican who's been in office since 2005, and Think Progress has a great video up of a town hall he had. This past week, I believe, or maybe it was just recently, and they just got it. Anyway, this is what happens when your Republican voters turn on your ass, and it's a whole video which is priceless. It's like 9 minutes long. And his people are just slamming the hell out of him, and
good.
He just doesn't know what to do. He turned into a real. He went from being aggressive to very passive because he realized the entire crowd was basically against him. And
well,
it was it's a wonderful
those guys
video.
Need that.
Yeah, and see, I get depressed because, I mean, I get, you know, yeah, depressed is the right word, the way our country's going. But then I see videos like that and I think, well, you know what? Maybe the rest of the United States is waking up because they've been
happening.
Voting. Yeah, exactly. And so that gives me hope. Then I get positive because I saw that video today and it just gave me a shot of happy that I haven't had in a long time. And when I write articles, I look for other things on the internet for it to back it up or to use more information. And I found this site called republicansforobama.org. And
oh,
I was
cool.
like, whoa, he posted that video? Let's see if he still believes in Obama. So I went over, and sure as hell he did. And I was like, wow, that dude's still on a bandwagon. Well, that gave me hope, too. Not that I think Obama's the best thing since sliced bread, the opposite. But, you know,
at least he's not hardcore right-wing like the rest of them.
No, he's still on the Obama bandwagon.
Right.
There are a lot of people out there who are moderate, and they're not
exactly.
going to change. Their moderation.
They've been
drowned
out by the loud voices from the right.
We have to embrace those people. We still have to embrace those people.
Right.
Even if we don't agree with 100% of their beliefs, he is still mad at the Republicans. And those are the kind of people that we need, even though, because I get really tired of preaching to the choir. That gets really old.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not going to get any new voters if that's all you're talking to. And the fact that this guy who runs this website still is pissed off at the Republicans and loves the fact that his Congress career got taken down a peg by his own constituents, that should make us all feel better. I mean, we can sit and preach Armageddon all we want, but as long as we can still make peace with the people in the middle to some degree on the major issues, and there's a ton
another,
of issues.
Another good website is Engineer of Knowledge is what it's called, and his blog, he's a Republican. His family's been Republican since the Civil War.
I read
but
him.
He cannot go for this current hardcore right-wing blend that they got in there now that is just trashing everything. And I think a growing number of Republicans are feeling the same way because they're way out of control. They're shutting down governments. They're trying to shut down our government. They're not cooperating in any stretch of the imagination with anybody. It's just ridiculous. It's like show or it, you know.
It's going to backfire on them. It's starting to backfire now.
Right.
If you've got elderly people who are voting age but they still got all their faculties, they're coming to these town halls and they're telling them. You know,
yeah.
I mean,
good.
The quotes that I got off of that, off of the Think Progress video were incredible because
mm-hmm.
I couldn't believe it. I was, the stuff they were saying to him, that's the stuff that mattered, you know. Who
yeah.
are you to cut Medicare, you know? Who are you?
Right.
I mean, part of the whole thing was Charlie tried to play stupid at first, and the guy, he goes, well, which tax rates do you want to raise? And he goes, the 3%. He says, you know what? The wealthy people, they've been doing great. You know, why can't you ask them to give their fair share? That's all these middle-class people are saying. Don't saddle
right.
us with all the debt. And
yeah.
and Charlie Dent didn't know how the hell to come back because he walks in lockstep with the rest of his Republicans.
That's
and,
the
and
problem.
And I read about, yeah, but see, I read about Charlie, and Charlie lives in a district that has a fair amount of Democratic voters, so they must
mm-hmm.
be pretty much middle-of-the-road centrist people.
Yeah,
and
I would
so
say.
They've kept his happy ass in Congress since 2005, which is a pretty good long stretch because he's got to
mm-hmm.
come up every 2 years being in the House.
Right.
But if they're showing up at his town halls saying, you're not cutting my Medicare unless, because what these people, the whole gist of the video was you guys took off the table giving money to all the corporations, but you want to cut my Medicare and
mm-hmm.
you want to cut all other services. Why do you think the tax cuts for the extremely wealthy, why do you think they should stay there? Because we're
mm-hmm.
all hurting now. And
right,
see,
exactly.
the Republicans are digging their own grave. And
right.
the only thing that we have to do is let...
They really don't seem to be getting hip to that. They're following
oh.
the strategy.
Well, I hope they don't.
They're actually following a strategy from governors to congressmen to... And it's fucking scary. Also, you posted, I asked Oso to call in today because he posted a really good piece today.
Oh, that was great.
The,
I read it.
The title alone just will grab you. It's The Revolution
oh, yeah.
was televised, but mostly only
mm-hmm.
watched, and it's over on roundtree7.com.
Mm-hmm.
And also, got to ask you, where'd you get your idea for the... for the post? What are you saying to us about patriotism?
I see people talk a lot about revolution. I hear people talk a lot about revolution. You know, the I don't want to say teabagger, because and it seems for the same reason I don't want to say Obot. Those are kind of divisive, and we don't need to drive anybody away. I'm not saying that we can, go together with the far right, but I mean we all have children and want to see mankind survive. But when I see the far right talk
really?
About revolution, they seem to be saying they're sick of affirmative action and there's a black president out there. So I don't think they really want to change in anything. I think they just, they're pretty much against things.
Mm-hmm.
I think they
want
to go back
anchored?
To the way it was.
Do you think it's anchored?
I see the middle. When I say middle, I mean the vast middle, you know, from... center left, all the way to conservative, you know,
mm-hmm.
maybe even center right, who want to go back to the 50s, and you know, they
mm-hmm.
think things started to go downhill at a certain point. You know, whether it was with Bush, you know, some people think things began to slip with financialization under Reagan. Some blame
mm-hmm.
Bush. Some on the right blame Obama, but the one of the points I wanted to make was, yes, those are seen as happier times, but when you think about it, there was massive discrimination. We were waging a Cold War,
mm-hmm.
You know, but there was bomb tests.
Do you think a lot of it is?
Yeah, women had no place anyway. Women were supposed
right.
to really just stay home, and so I think
do you think it's
really
anchored
really
in
want to change. But I think that there are those on the left who really do want to change.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, some are already doing things. Some are already risking their lives. The people
mm-hmm.
in the Freedom Flotilla, people sitting in, people fighting like people in Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
There's others who are, once things maybe get a little tighter, they'll join in too. But when I thought about it, you know, people rise up when they're desperate, and those of us who are maybe a lot of the people here aren't doing real well financially, but we're making ends meet, and the things which really motivate us are things which threaten mankind in general. You know, where we get motivated about global warming, about disasters, by what they see directly, by brutality and injustice. And they rise up, and they rise up and fight. And I'm not saying they're altruistic, but they're just typical people. And
no, that, you know, also, that was a very, very thoughtful and insightful post. I think you did a great job identifying really what's really happening. And you went into it in depth, you know, identifying some of the causes and the people, that the characters that make up the whole scenario. And
yeah.
It was very accurate, and it's unfortunate. But, yeah, a lot of the problem does come from the right. It really does, especially
it's
the far
coming
right.
Out of, it's coming out of, it's coming not, you know, it's not the right. It's their handlers. It's the people that are manipulating the right.
Oh,
if
yeah,
you
like
see
the Koch
John
brothers.
Boehner, yeah, you see John Boehner standing up there. He wants to be like a Koch brother, but he can't be. They're always going to keep their boot on his throat.
Right.
They
and Grover Norquist, there's another enemy of the people right there. That guy is just bad news. No new taxes for anybody for any reason, period. I'm sorry. That's so impractical.
Yeah, and it's all this wannabe, I want to be, and it's all based in greed, and that greed and profiteering.
But you have to admit, that we're in the society is in the I got mine, screw the rest of you mode, and they've been that way for a long time.
Right.
I hear my sister, who's basically upper middle class. Her and her husband make roughly, I don't know, probably about $300,000 a year between the two of them.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not what I consider right-wing Republicans, but they're Republicans. And but I can
because they don't.
It's like I don't want to pay any more taxes, and I don't care if anybody gets their welfare because I'm tired of giving until it hurts. And I'm like, but it's not hurting you. It's not hurting you. And that's what I have to. And it's all in how I talk to her.
Scared. Yeah. Well, scared of losing perceptively what they have, and yet those people are losing a great deal right now.
I point that out. And it's all in how I message it. Whether she listens to me, and that's the whole thing. I can't scream at her because, see, we stand around and bitch about the right wing nut jobs, and there's a reason my blog's called Left Wing Nut Job, because I am. I'm on the complete other end of the spectrum, but I'm intelligent enough to know that I have to bring in the people in the middle, or we're never going to get anything done. So we can sit and bitch about Obama bots all we want, but we need to keep those people. We have to find common ground on the major issues, and that's the only way we're going to get it to work.
Are we already too late for any of this is what I'm beginning to wonder.
I don't think so. I think we're on the verge of a new era.
Disaster capitalism.
Yeah.
Do you think? I'm hoping so. I thought so. Worked hard for it with Obama, but he's a compromiser, and he's basically
he's a lousy negotiator. I think that's what he is.
He's
I did it for a living for 20 years. He's one of the lousiest negotiators I've ever heard or dealt with or watched in my life. I can't believe where his starting points are.
What he does is he gives it away, but I'm not so sure he isn't giving it away because he's being guided to do that.
That could very well be. That could be a very good point.
I'm not
so sure anymore that we have this open, free government because look what happened.
Oh, you don't.
I don't believe anything.
We hear about, you know, he's just not a fighter, but then for TARP, he fought, and for Bernanke's confirmation, he fought and he twisted arms. So I tend to think he fights for what he really wants, and with the rest, he kind of lets the chips
fall.
Look
what those guys got us. Look what those guys got us, though,
But you know what? Because of what
they
he does, that's how we're going to awaken the middle ground people.
Well, look what's happening in Wisconsin. In Ohio.
Exactly. Because I'm a political nihilist. I believe that you get what you voted for. And you damn well better get buyer's remorse if you don't like it. Because that's the only way you wake them up. That's the only way you're going to wake these people up is what's happening in Wisconsin and Ohio.
excuse me, but Dusty, Obama led people. Well, he led the left and the progressive end of the
okay,
party.
Okay, I held my nose. I held my nose when I voted for Obama, because, like everybody else does, because it's a case of the lesser of two evils. I knew he wasn't a liberal. I knew he wasn't a progressive. I figured
that.
At worst he was a centrist. He's turned out to be right of center. I'll be
right.
The first to admit that.
I agree.
Okay?
I agree.
The way we pull his ass back in is when everybody starts voting. Everybody starts voting because of their paycheck. They start voting because of their...
I've always voted, but I vote for who I educate myself to and I'm good with.
Mm-hmm.
And I won't vote for Obama.
I've been arguing with people about that lately.
If you're going to accuse me...
I'm not accusing anybody of anything.
Some kind of... sweetie, I know. I'm just hearing it on a lot of ends that, you know, if you don't vote for Obama, it's as good as putting someone like Sarah Palin or Buchanan into the White House.
Or Bachman.
Or Bachman. I'm sorry. I'm thinking.
But you know what? There's truth
Bachman.
To that. There is truth to that.
There is truth.
I'm not going to buy that, and I'm not going to. My integrity is not for sale to the lesser evil. I am not going to pedal back.
Oh, I hate it, too.
Vote.
I hate that.
But how is that?
I'm going to vote for who I think is the best candidate. And if it's the Green Party candidate and I feel good about that, then that's the way I'm going to go.
I can respect that from you. All I'm saying is if a Republican gets in office,
you
got to deal with it.
You know,
yeah,
here's
true.
The thing.
It's
remember.
Quite true. And I respect that a lot of people are going to vote for Obama because he's the lesser of two evils. I think it's a sad, sad state of affairs.
Well, remember, we got George Bush. We remember how we got George Bush, not only through fraudulent. George Bush shouldn't have even gotten.
Son of a bitch stole it.
Yeah, but you know,
but he woke up enough of the population. He pissed off enough of the population that that's why Obama got it.
Mm-hmm.
And
you're
see,
right.
Now the pendulum's going to start swinging the other way, and we got to make sure that the teabaggers. Don't get their folks in there.
Definitely
and that's the
not.
Only reason.
I agree. I agree.
That's
a whole
the only reason. We have to just
what
keep,
do you think
you know, of we have to attack from within is the way I look at it. We have to attack from within.
Remember.
Oso, what do you think? What's your idea, Oso? What do you think?
I understand the reasoning of saying that we can't afford to let people like Palin or Bachman or hell, Bush or McCain or Ryan in office. But the thing which really frustrates me is if I felt the Democrats, once they are voted into power, they would say, now we're going to get back to our democratic values, I would say, yes, we need to vote for get Obama back in.
Well, you
got
to elect the right kind of Democrats.
But what I got to say is this, what I see in
I've been trying all my life.
when Wisconsin went Republican, and I think a lot of it was people who were disillusioned with the Democrats and didn't vote.
Yeah.
I think it was a message to the party saying, you need to change, you need to go back to your base. Mm-hmm. But yet the party took
that. I agree with that.
Yeah.
They got pissed and they voted. They voted emotionally. They said they screwed me in the ass, and I'm going to go ahead and I'm voting for the Republican. I'm going to show them. Or I think what happened more than anything was the people who vote left of center just said screw it and stayed home. They were
that
pissed.
Right.
Or they voted
and that's
for,
a mistake. That's a mistake
a
they
mistake.
Won't make
or,
in 2012. That won't happen
voted,
in 2012.
Or like when they voted their conscience. And you know what? I respect that. But if that's what you want to do, then I totally respect you. But then if we get a government that's led by Republicans because of what they've got enough of, they've got the House now, and if they tip it just a little bit more, they're going to get the Senate. Then
that'd
it doesn't matter who. Yeah, then it doesn't matter who's in the White House because they're going to have to capitulate to both houses. They're going to have to capitulate to the Senate and to the House. So it doesn't matter if Obama's sitting in there or anything. It's what the Republicans want because they control the legislative branch. So
here's something nobody ever
that's
addresses. I want to make this point.
That is a long way away from voting for the presidential candidate and voting for the representatives and senators and all of the other posts that you fill in a major election.
Mm-hmm.
There's a huge difference there, Dusty. You know,
I'm not pushing
away from my candidates on the ground side.
Well, hey,
I live in Redneckistan. I live in a place that's been ruled by Republicans. It's been ruled by Republicans since it was created. It's called Kern County, and it's the reddest part of California. It's a place to drive through. No, honey, I live here. Anyway, I've been here 10 years, and I moved from San Diego to here. You know, so I get to watch the rednecks. I get to watch them flow out because the last guy elected Congress critter from here was the guy who had Nancy Pelosi's seat before her or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
He was a bigwig, Bill Thompson or whatever his last name. I don't even remember his last name right now. But he
mm-hmm.
finally retired, and now we got Kevin McCarthy. Anyway, my point being that there's certain segments of the population that are never going to change, certain areas. They're always
right.
going to vote
yeah.
red. But then you
yeah.
got states like where Wisconsin and places like that where you go, wait a minute, what the hell happened there? They
right.
were pissed. Those people
well,
were pissed.
It was an off-year
yeah.
election, and people didn't vote. Plain
because they were pissed.
Point,
it was all based on emotion. It was
now,
all
remember
based
this,
on emotion.
Gang. I
want to
make a very important point here, gang. I want you to remember this and think about it. Obama didn't really start turning nasty or against his populist beginning until the Democrats really lost control of the House and Senate. He started wavering ahead of time because the Republicans were so strong and demanding so much from him. But you know something? What tells you is that the guy doesn't want to fight, and he doesn't want to
fight
anybody.
Fight.
So you know what you do?
What
you've got to do, you've got to elect progressive Democrats to the Senate
yep.
and the House, and
that's
with
right.
the pressure from that group and enough Dinos out of the way, you're going to see a change in Obama.
Well, of
because
course,
he's not
he'll
strong.
He'll have to work with us. He'll have to work with us then.
Right, exactly, exactly.
Jack, so you're saying that there were a lot of Dinos in the
oh,
House.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, and that too,
well,
yeah.
They, hurting,
now they're
hurting
gone.
Democrats, hurting
wait,
Democrats
wait
is like hurting
wait,
cats.
Excuse me. Wait a minute. In other words, all through the health care reform bill and every compromise, and by the way, Social Security and Medicare is on the table right now with this president. Because of all of that, that was not a majority. That was Dino or leaning to
right.
to the
right.
the right.
Exactly.
They're more like okay.
And remember, most of those people are gone now.
Yes, they
yeah,
are.
Republicans.
Especially
Republicans.
No, the
Dinos
like oh God, what was that female that was a? She was a really crucial vote, and she
oh,
got
one
voted
in Arkansas.
Blanche yeah.
Lincoln.
She was one of the biggest doorstops. She was one of the
oh,
best
yeah.
the Democrats the Republicans had in office. I
right.
mean, she really
exactly.
was.
And
she
true.
Was. She thought she would hold on to her job by capitulating to the right wing nut jobs in her district, and
mm-hmm.
it didn't get her a damn thing. It didn't
no,
get
it
her
got
nothing.
Her defeated.
She got voted out anyway. Yeah, exactly.
Right.
So you can't play that game. You have
now,
to be.
Now this time around, two things important things are happening. One, this isn't a midterm election. This is a presidential election.
Yes,
that means
exactly.
more Democrats are going to vote instead of staying home. They're going to vote.
Money.
And it means
more
money. Yeah, but they're
and
still
the,
doing
money,
okay on money.
That kind of money comes into play.
Yeah.
Well, look how
yeah.
much money Carl Rose already made, raised.
Yeah.
Right. I'm saying that. But, you know, we talked a couple of months ago or 6 weeks ago. I felt very strongly that there was going to be a change made in the 36th or 26th district in New York State. I knew the Democrats were going to take that because people, as you
mm-hmm.
say, are fed up.
Right.
And things are changing. Politics are not the same as they ever were. Everybody
mm-hmm.
who goes and basically, you know, what do you call it, says that it's going to, I see the strategies that like Rachel Maddow puts out or Chris Matthews puts out,
Don't compare her to Matt to Tweety, please.
The point is that they all use the same, even though she'll say, is it actually going to play out that way? She will at least roll the dice, but she still says this is the way it happens. This is the strategy. This is the tradition. This is how it goes.
Mm-hmm.
In this kind of a bellwether, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the point is, I don't think anything is the same anymore. I think that the majority of people who brought Obama in were people who he gathered up in his skirts as grassrootsers, like the Netroots generation, and a lot of Netroots people are friends of mine. And I did not see them, as you say, Jack, over there at the last election. They were not there.
They weren't there.
They're very disenchanted. They're very disenchanted.
Yeah.
And I think that everything, you just can't predict what's going to happen. And when all this money, there is like going to be twice as much money on
the
table.
But you know, the population is pissed at the Republican excesses, and they're all over the board. Everybody, all these major Republican governors that got voted in, they have horrible approval ratings right now. And that's not going to change in the next year. They're going to go down.
Because all politics are local. All politics do come down to being local.
Well,
right,
and governor of this state has really got himself a hate wagon built up.
Oh, yeah, he should have.
He's the worst. He's got the lowest rating of all governors.
He's terrible.
Your governor.
Yep.
He's got the lowest rating of all governors. And he actually had the balls recently to say, oh, hell yeah, I'm running for re-election. I'm like, are you freaking stupid?
If the
election was held today, pal, you'd be gone.
You'd be gone.
Dusty, you finally rang the bell with a hammer. They are stupid.
No, they're not stupid. They're not stupid. They're crazy like a fox. What I say. That's why I say people should not underestimate Michelle Bachmann. Number one, she raised $13 million. $13 million in this first quarter. $13 million. I don't care what they say on the polls about her popularity. 90%, 75% or 85% of her money was raised from small contributions, just like Obama.
Do you think that's going to come anywhere near matching whoever Rove cuts out of the herd for his puppet?
Well, and Rove
don't
like
her.
Rove don't like her.
Do you know how much money these people are capable of putting on the table right now?
Oh, it's terrible.
He's already got 20 million.
You're right.
He's probably got 17 times that much.
Well, hey, guys, remember.
He's got two facts. One, he has
Republicans have created a lot of dissatisfaction, and they're going to pay for that big time. We're going to take the House back. I'm telling you that right now. That's going to happen. We're not going to lose the Senate. That's not going to happen. And when we get these new influx of new, more liberal Democrats, you're going to see something different. You're not going to see Dino land anymore. You're going to see some real stuff. And that's going to happen, and it's going to be a good day.
No. See, it depends on how the more liberal candidates run their campaigns.
Mm-hmm.
And the woman that just got elected in New York, she ran a perfect campaign. I don't know if she got flack from the DNC and those idiots at the DCCC. I don't know if they gave her crap or not.
She hammered Republicans on Medicare. That's exactly what we're going to do.
She also had some strategical help from some of the older Republicans in that community.
Right.
Well, the one thing I will tell you, though, about my crazy family,
they backed her.
The one thing I would like to say, remember earlier I said how I grew up with my dad calling me his little commie pinko?
Right.
Okay. I had dinner with my dad about a year and a half, 2 years ago. And he said, I will never vote for another Republican in my life. And this is a man who's, okay, I am related to Nixon through marriage, okay? He voted in my grandmother's house the year he got elected, okay?
Uh-huh.
For my father to come out and say that he was sick and tired because he was thinking of his pocketbook and he was thinking of his Medicare and his TRICARE and all that crap.
Right.
And as long as the Democrats are smart enough to let the Republicans hang themselves with all this crap they want to pull, then that's great. Then we will be able to get over the hill and get back to, because we didn't have enough control in the Senate to do anything. When I say
problem.
We, I'm not even a registered Democrat. I'm registered as declined state because I hold allegiance to a party.
Yeah, you're talking leftist. You're talking leftist.
I'm the same.
Yeah, no, I've been registered as declined state for 20 years. Well, I live
in California.
You live in a redneck state,
In the primary.
I have a question for you. You think that we get all of these Democrats in, it's going to make a big difference with the president that we have who's right of center?
I
don't know. It's
going to push him further left, I guarantee it.
Yes. If
because you're going to have a more pure leftist Democratic Party resulting from this. I guarantee you.
If we get him in, that's the whole question. That's the whole question. If the candidates let the DCCC or whatever the hell, how many C's it's got in it, and the DNC run their campaign for them, they're going to screw up because those guys are all just too pussified. But,
right.
You know, if they say screw you, I'm running the campaign I want.
Dusty,
it's got to be meat and potatoes.
Dusty, that's why I've been advocating for people to go to their caucuses and go to the Democratic caucus and insist that their candidates that they endorse and nominate for higher office be progressive-minded people who are pro-labor, who are pro-education, who are pro-all the good things, and not one of these milquetoast, lukewarm Joe Lieberman types.
That's what I have here in Redneckistan, is I have a really milquetoast. I tried to work within the Democratic Party here when I first moved here, and it didn't work. I went to all their meetings. I got chummy with everybody, and they didn't want to hear my side. They wanted me to listen to their side. Well, me to shut up and listen to their side because they knew how to do it. And,
well, they don't hold the office now, do they?
They don't hold the office anymore, do they? Well, the thing is, the Republicans have always controlled this county, so it doesn't really matter if you don't run the campaigns locally like you're supposed to. We can't unentrench them. And so, going back to the whole politics or local thing, if those candidates, those House candidates and those Senate candidates, don't run their campaigns based on bread and butter issues, meat and potato issues, however you want to look at it, we're not going to get control, and those teabaggers will get even more seats. So it's a really slippery slope, and people can argue for days on end about how to run a campaign, to make sure you appeal to the people's pocketbooks.
I also think it has a lot to do with and this is a shame, but I think it has a lot to do with the money. Who's got the money to do it, you know, to pay for all of that propaganda, because people listen to the propaganda on television.
Right.
They really do.
Oh, a lot of people fall for that crap.
But not when they see their paychecks are getting smaller.
Exactly.
And not when they see their parents worrying about whether their Medicare is going to get cut or not. Because that's the kind of crap that we have to hit them on. That's the kind of crap we have to hit them on. And you know what? I might not agree with the guy next door, but he's worried about his Medicare. And I keep slamming him about his Medicare. And I said, that's what happens when you put Republicans in charge. It's putting a fox in charge of the hen house. You can't let them do it. You might hate gay people, but I'm telling you right now, it don't matter if you hate gay people if you don't have any Medicare, dude.
Exactly.
Because you've got a blown out knee, you got a blown out back, and if you let those Republicans rule the roost, you won't. Mm-hmm. You'll be paying for your own damn surgery. And he just looked at me. He didn't know what to say, because he couldn't come back at me for that.
So he's thinking about it right now.
Yeah, exactly.
We're actually doing a call-in show today, and I thank you so much, everybody, for diving in and bringing your opinions up. This is great. We have two other callers online right now I want to give an opportunity to.
Exactly.
And one is,
I'm going to quiet up. I'm going to quiet up and let you go. I'll be here. I'm just going to listen.
And Beach is back on. No, Dusty, don't go away. Just let's give everybody a chance. Yeah, don't go nowhere. I'm just bringing Oscar Talks on live, and Beach is back. Beach, hey.
Hey, I'm just listening. Go ahead, y'all. I'll chime in when something says somebody, when someone says something.
Jack and Dusty are making a very good argument that basically people are fed up with the Republican acts and how they've, what they've done, what they're not accomplishing, the ridiculous directions they've taken the country in when we're in such dire straits. Am I getting this right, guys? This is basically what you all are saying, that people are aware of this and they're waking up to it, and they're not going to vote for Tea Party people or the idiots that are actually out there saying, no matter how much money, they got to say it over and over again on the TV, right?
They're not going to vote for the God Hates Fags crowd when mm-hmm. their Medicare is getting cut. That's mm-hmm. what I'm trying to say. They're, social issues aren't going to work this time around.
Culture wars are over. It's about paying the bills, right?
Yeah, exactly. And about your medical insurance and about Social Security going away and the whole nine yards. People are worried. And so much of the population is older now that those are the people going, wait a minute, you're not cutting my freaking Social Security, and you're not going to do away with my Medicare. Mm-hmm. That's the meat and potatoes issue. So, you know, he might hate gay people, my next-door neighbor, which he does, but when I point out that, you know, you can hate gays all you want, but it's not going to help you to vote for that gay-hating Republican if he's going to cut your Medicare.
Mm-hmm.
I like what Dusty said, because there was a infamous sign some old lady was holding up here in South Carolina when the healthcare reform was going through. She said, I want the government off. The government should stay away from health care. Hands off my Medicare. She was confused. This old lady. I really messed that up. But this old lady was holding a sign that essentially said she didn't want the government messing with health care, but yet she didn't want anyone touching her Medicare. So
that shows how ignorant she is. She didn't even know. She doesn't even realize people who scream about socialism, what the hell they think Medicare is. Mm-hmm.
Well,
you know,
I mean, I agree with you.
Little old ladies will take the camera every time. They're like puppy dogs or little children. Little old ladies walk up, and you remember that woman years ago? All she had to do was look at you and say, "Where's the beef?" You know, that's what the Democrats need. That's what the Democrats need. They need the where's the beef lady to go after the Republicans and on the campaign.
I want to know what Oscar has to say. I want to know what Oscar has to say about all my jumbling here.
Hello.
Hey, Oscar. You've been very patient.
Well, there's quite a lot of you talking, you see, so I don't really want to jump in and make it any more confusing than it already is. It's a little cluster of people having a chit-chat there, which is fine, and it's just about holding up, but I thought I'd come in on Skype anyway, because I get better sound quality, to be honest, listening to the show via Skype than listening via the show page on BTR. But I'm someone who's just really trying to understand everything, to be honest. I can't quite get to grips with any of it and can't quite figure it all out, but it's always kind of interesting to talk to people who say that they are more on the left of the political spectrum, people who describe themselves as progressives and this sort of thing, because you tend not to hear quite so many voices talking from that side of things as a lot of people that you hear on the radio talking from a conservative perspective.
Well, we're not as loud and we're not as widespread on the airwaves as a lot of the, you know, talk radio is all, it's almost all conservative, you know. Radical conservative.
I have a feeling, though, that that's possibly because the conservative, the things that conservatives say kind of lend themselves a little bit better to talk radio, where you're trying to agitate people a little bit and stir people up.
Jingoism.
Well,
right. Yep.
Yeah, but I find myself trying to figure out, though, do they have a point, or are they really talking rubbish? And, of course, you can say the same about people who say the traditional left-wing things, and I still don't know. I mean, I can't understand it. So, I mean, maybe you guys can try and, you know, fill in some of the gaps in my knowledge.
Where are you located?
On the outskirts of London, England.
Oh, you are. Well, nice to hear from you, sir. Yeah.
Yes,
see, I don't know what image you're getting of the United States either. If you're getting the Fox News image, you're getting a distorted image. Most of American mainstream media is slanted. So I don't know really where you're, what you're seeing about this country and how valid it is.
Well, I don't get Fox News. That's a TV channel, isn't it? And I don't get that because I don't even know if it's available here. But I do get a lot of the conservative talk radio on the internet, which I'm able to listen to.
Okay.
There's plenty of that. But there is some progressive radio on the internet as well.
Oh, yeah.
There's stations like KGO, for example, in San Francisco is one that has a roster of its own hosts rather than doing networked hosts. And there's one or two good people on there that are able to say things from a progressive angle that interests me and that sounds sensible.
Mm-hmm.
But,
because it's that regional part of the United States is progressive. That San Francisco is very progressive. So that's it's good that you get to listen to that.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's sitting there on the internet, so I mean, anyone around the world that's got the internet can listen to it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just if you start doing searches for American talk radio, obviously the stuff that tends to come up immediately is the big conservative stuff. But let me ask you about some specific policies that I hear left-wing people say, and maybe you can help me to understand these things better, clear these things up for me. The first one is the business about corporations. I often hear people demonizing corporations. It's just almost like they are the big evil, the big nasty, the big devil in the whole system, and that most of the things that's gone wrong is down to the corporations. They are the ones that are the most to blame. They're the ones that really we should be looking to attack to somehow maybe redress a balance by getting some money from people in corporations because they've grabbed it all and have taken it from pretty much everybody else.
Where does that come from?
Well,
from my perspective, it comes from my whole reason for actually being so extra involved in politics is about the health of the planet, the environmentalism of it. That's the question. And the profiteering of large oil and all the large industries that are energy industries, or they put that illusion out.
Mm-hmm.
They're basically, look around the world and what you see. I mean, the coal mines of Wales, you know, there's a legacy there to take a look at. Engulf and devour and spit the people to the side. It's all over the planet.
Mm-hmm.
And currently we're doing it with petroleum. The whole Gulf of Mexico is dead right now from petroleum. It's and the poison used to make it sink to the bottom. It's a terrible disregard for humanity, and it's cruel. And that's where it comes from my perspective. Perhaps someone else could give you another perspective.
I would like to put it this way for Oscar. In America, 2% of the population, which is the top 2%, control over 65% of the wealth.
That's right.
That is the corporations and that is the rich people.
Mm-hmm.
So how can you have, that's why we rail against what I call the corporatocracy.
Right.
Because they also spend millions and millions, which actually adds up to billions of dollars a year, lobbying Congress to make sure that the laws that are passed don't affect
them.
Mm-hmm. So that the laws don't affect their bottom line.
Right.
We can look like we're getting health care reform, but the bill in large part was written by the health care insurance industry so that it wouldn't hurt them. So people will sit there and say, well, we got health care reform. No, we really didn't get that much reform. We protected the interests of the health care insurance industry,
mm-hmm.
and they gave us a little bit in there.
Right.
So
absolutely.
They gave us just enough to keep us quiet.
And another thing
problem,
to consider is that shareholders on paper, shareholders of a corporation are supposed to get dividend checks and be taken care of, you know, benevolently by the corporation. The problem is this: the vast majority of dollars that are in the stock market that are supporting these corporations are wealthy dollars. They're not lower-income people. They're not middle-income people. I think the lowest 20% of income earners in America, only 8% of them have any stock at all, and very, very little of them have more than $15,000 or $20,000. It's very slanted for the very wealthy and the corporate autocracy and the elite rich. That's what we're railing about.
Why is that though? Why is it that they have got no stock?
Because
they
have the money to buy it with.
They're too worried about paying their mortgage and feeding their kids. I don't have stock. I don't have any stock. I'm disabled because I blew my back out at work. So I'm on a disability check, which means I get Social Security. I paid into it since I was 15 years old.
Right.
So I don't own stock. But the corporations lobby Congress with millions of dollars a year to make sure that there aren't any bills passed that affect their profit margin. That's all they care about is their profit margin.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why we rail against them is because they don't care about the guy next door having medical insurance. They just want to make sure that money's coming in to their corporation like Halliburton.
Well, I can understand this sinister element of a connection between corporations and political circles where the corporations are effectively saying, well, we want you to make laws.
They manipulate politics.
Yeah, I can understand that. That's very dubious, but I mean, first of all, I think a lot of people kind of own shares that don't even realize that they own shares, because if you pay anything into pension funds, the banks that own these and operate these pension funds actually, what they do is they invest the money into shares in corporations, and that is what actually provides for the money which, when you stop working, maybe in your 60s or something, and you might want to live until your 80s or your 90s, you've got to remember that during all that time when you're no longer producing anything, you're relying on pension funds to actually sustain you in life, and that's where it actually comes from.
But such a little tiny bit of that dribbles down to the average citizen in America, it's almost not worth counting.
How can you say that if people are
because the bank is a corporation into itself. So all the bank cares about is their bottom line. They don't care if they screw their stockholders. They really don't.
They don't care.
If the pension funds go under, it's not a big deal to them as long as they keep bringing in money.
That's
Well, hang on a minute. And you've got to remember as well, shareholders are actually owners. The people who are the shareholders
but they have
of
such
any
a little voice.
But very
they have
few people
voice.
Are shareholders, Oscar. Very few.
There's a difference. There's a big difference between being a stockholder and a shareholder.
There's the big difference between
what's the difference?
Britain pensioners and America's Social Security collectors. I think that's what people on Social Security would compare better for pensioners in Britain.
That's a state old age pension, isn't it?
Yes, it's when we pay into all of our lives, and regardless if you do or you don't, if you've paid in even a couple of times, you still get something from the government. Folks, your family, generations have paid in, and it's all been accountable in the past. But the right wing or the Republican brand of politics right now, which is basing itself on an agenda that's very close to what is disaster capitalism, basically is trying to forfeit our great big pensions over here, like Social Security. And
they want to privatize it.
They're using rhetoric to do it. And if they privatize it, they'll just rob it and bankrupt it and say, oh, well, what do you care? You know, I mean, that is their record. That is what they have done in the past. That's what they're doing now, Oscar. You know, the greatest empire in the planet was, it has been Britain. And that is one huge place where, they've been able to comfortably give pensions out, but through the corporations in Britain, huge companies, vast companies, the beginning of insurance, you know, and now it's getting pulled back on pensioners. I understand in England are suffering pretty badly, aren't they?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we have a state old age pension here, the same as you do. You call it Social Security. Mm-hmm. We tend not to call it Social Security here, but it's just called the state old age pension, mm-hmm. which you're entitled uh-huh. to. But there's a difference between that and any kind of private pension that you've been paying into during the course of your working life.
Mm-hmm.
That, obviously, is provided privately through corporations,
right.
through banking corporations that invest the money, because, I mean, banks obviously do create wealth in some way by deploying money which they have as deposits in such a way as that it can be put to use within corporations to generate further wealth. So you have this, private sector pensions are pretty much the same, I think, here as what you've got there. And what it basically is that during your working life, you have to provide a proportion of the money that you're earning while you are producing any wealth.
Mm-hmm.
You set that aside somehow, mm-hmm. such that it will be able to provide for you during the time when you've stopped working, when you've stopped producing anything, which, as I say, is nowadays we expect it to be a few decades, a couple of decades, maybe 3 decades of not working, but having money coming in. And that's a financial system which corporations, including banks, and also the corporations that the banks kind of feed with the funding, that's what the pension funding is. And, I mean, who's going to provide employment for people who are going to work if not corporations? You can't tell me that the government has to provide work for absolutely everybody. That will be ludicrous. It's just impractical.
No, of course not. And
so
we're not suggesting that either.
But most of our corporations have outsourced our employment to
exactly.
China. So we don't have the workforce that we had 30 years ago. And,
exactly.
and the problem with that is the United States doesn't manufacture anything anymore. We're just the home of the corporate heads, because like Halliburton doesn't even have their head corporate office in the United States anymore. It's in Dubai. But they do all their business with the United States government. Okay, and I only use Halliburton as an example because it's a big employer here in my neck of the woods because of the oil business. So if you look at it that way, and the other thing I want to address with you, Oscar, is people in the United States do not stay at a job for 20 years anymore. If
well,
you stay at a company for 20 years, yeah, but see, if you're changing jobs every 5 or 10 years, then you're not building up a pension with that company because
you
you're moved on
it.
To somewhere else. No, you can't just transfer it. You can't.
You can't. Not here you can't.
No, you can't.
Not here you can't.
No.
Well, funds will have gone in while you've been working at one place, and that funding is still there. It doesn't disappear. You can
yeah,
do
but,
something.
But then
with
they,
it.
You but if you only work. Leave after, if you change jobs every 5 to 10 years,
you don't
then
get
all
vested.
They owe you, yeah, you don't get vested because you have to be with a company anywhere from 7 to 10 years before you're vested to be part of their pension agreement, the part of their pension plan.
Well, that's
where they
so
contribute
that's
as well.
That's the companies that will give pensions because plenty of them don't any longer. When antitrust
right.
and
very
and
true.
When that all got deregulated, thank you, President Clinton, mm-hmm. it basically broke the pensions and 401ks that people set up for themselves to contribute from their paychecks on their own. Oscar,
mm-hmm.
many of them crashed during this last fiscal debacle that we had in 2008, and many are not recovering much at all from them. the stock market may be doing very well, but it's funny how people's savings and investments are not doing as well as the stock market. And I don't even know how to begin to even approach that, to be honest with you. But I do know that it's true. I know a lot of people who had savings built up, plus the fact there is such high unemployment here right now that people have gone through after 2.5 years. We have a set of people out of work we call the 99ers, and they're so long out of work now that they've gone through their many times life savings, and they're coming down to nothing. And
yes, they spent their 401k. They took a huge penalty, and they spent their 401k to live on now.
Right,
and a 401k is your private pension that you contribute to only yourself, if you're not familiar with that term, Oscar. That's the private pension that you can move, you know, back and forth with you. But those 401ks are invested in the stock market. So that's where Gwen was trying to say, you know, if your personal pension, your 401k, took a big hit, then you're screwed, because now you've got to wait another 10 years for it to build back up, because the value of that stock is worth nothing. It's taken such a huge hit. It really has. So the little guy, the guy on Main Street, says, well, I'm 55. I thought I was going to be able to retire when I was 60. No, now I'm going to have to wait till I'm almost 70 to retire, because I have to wait for my personal 401k pension to build back up again. But yet our corporations are doing bang-up business, because they're making money hand over fist. It's the corporations are still healthy. They took a hit 2 years ago when the subprime mortgage debacle, the meltdown, occurred. But they have already built back up, and they've got their reserve funds are all built back up, number one, because the government bailed out a huge percentage of them, but also because people still have to buy food, they still have to buy cars, they still have to buy gas, you know, and so those type of industries are just as strong as they were 6 years ago, if not stronger. So the corporations have come out of this just fine. It's the guy on Wall Street is just fine. It's the guy on Main Street whose personal 401k, because he owned a stock that was worth $20 last year, 2 years ago, it's worth $5 a share now. So that's where it hits
the
people in their pocketbook.
They're spending that $5 to survive right now, because a lot of them are out of work. The percentage of unemployment in this country has said one thing on the media, and yet if you just check the numbers again and see who's showing up to the unemployment offices, and you know, once you're off the unemployment rolls, the 99ers are not, in other words, being actually counted as members of the unemployed anymore. They just sort of shuffle them off, and it makes better political numbers for whoever's in the office, because it says, oh, well, our unemployment isn't as bad as it was. Well, that's a lot of crap. It's actually sometimes worse, because they're not even counting the ones that originally lost their jobs, if you follow what I mean.
Sure. So if you accept then that unemployment is probably one of the biggest problems that we face, what then is the left-wing solution to unemployment, if not corporations? I mean,
no, because corporations aren't spending their money. That's why they're not the solution. They're holding on to their money, waiting for the second wave, because a lot of economists believe there's going to be a second wave of recession because of the fact that the corporations are holding on to their cash reserves, and certain types of industries are recession-proof. Big oil is one of them. Big pharma is another one. You have to take your medicine whether you've got a job or not. You have to put gas in your car no matter what. You have to be able to go to work every day regardless of the fact that your paycheck hasn't grown in the last 10 years. You still have to put gas in your car, and that price continues to rise. Yes, they're strong businesses, but they're keeping all that money in capital. They're keeping all that capital in their pockets. They're not expanding. They're not hiring.
Well, and that includes the banks too. I'm a small business owner, and I can't get a
loan. The banks aren't loaning.
I mean, I've done business with my suppliers for over 15 years in some cases, and they've told me I have to go back on cash. That 30-day net was very important to me. And it basically, I'm peddling as fast as I can, and I really love what I do, so I stick with it. But I got to tell you, it cut Main Street right off. Little makers, I mean, I am an American manufacturer, and I'm very proud to say that. But the point is, most American manufacturing is, it just isn't.
We don't have any manufacturing.
So the only thing we make
is cars.
You're telling me that an established business that's been around for some time making something is dependent on banks giving them a loan? I mean, what on earth is happening there?
No.
This is something else I hear.
I have a good example. Okay, my brother-in-law has worked for the same company. My brother-in-law has worked for the same company his entire life. He's a cabinet maker. They had a huge booming business here in California for over 50 years. My brother-in-law has worked for them for 20 years. When they started getting less and less orders for their work because people were buying it in Mexico, the owner of the cabinet shop said, well, I'm just going to open up a small maquiladora in Mexico so I can compete with those guys because everything that's made overseas is a lot cheaper to buy than anything that's made in the United States anymore. So my point is that I'm getting to now is 2 years later, he has laid off every single staff that he has, and my brother-in-law only kept his job because he now has to drive to Mexico every day and run the maquiladora that he had, that his boss, that's the only piece of his business that's still alive, is the cabinets that are made in Mexico. And my brother-in-law has to drive to Mexico from San Diego every single day because he's the manager of that maquiladora. So that business had to lay off over 200 American workers, and they are now employing 200 more Mexican workers in Mexico to make their products so that they can compete with all the other cabinet makers.
So now I think I'm starting to understand what it is you're saying then. What you're saying is that the United States should introduce protectionism.
I think to a certain degree, yes, we should. That we should penalize companies who send all their jobs, they outsource all of their jobs to other nations because it saves it, because it protects their bottom line. They don't care about keeping my brother-in-law's business.
Not
he hung
line.
On.
It's greater profit. It's about greater profit. They're making their bottom line.
My brother-in-law's company held on as long as he could, and he finally said, "Look, I have to lay off everybody. Mark, I like you. You've been with me for 20 years. If you want to run the maquiladora in Mexico, I will hold on to you, but everybody else in the company is gone." And that's exactly what happened, and that's what's happening all over the United States, no matter. And he wasn't a huge conglomerate. He was just a local cabinet maker who you know, was trying to build a market throughout the United States, and then the big recession hit, and he was way overextended, and so he ended up closing his entire operation in the United States, and now he's still in business. He's still making money, but all the 200 people that work for him are on the unemployment rolls, except for my brother-in-law, who thanks God every day that he still has a job. He's just pissed that he has to drive to Mexico to keep one.
So you're nationalists. You're really nationalists. You would describe yourself as a nationalist?
To a certain degree, yes, I am, only because of the way that the government has allowed the corporations to manipulate the markets, and we've let them ship all these jobs out of the United States, and now that we realize, well, Christ, they've shipped all our jobs out. What do we do now?
They let all of our trust laws with corporations that said, listen, this is the set of rules you have financial as being the fiduciary. You have a trust that you have to keep. with American business, and they have just basically since the 90s have deregulated that in favor of greater profiteering, which has been borne by large corporations and even, like Dusty says, in some regards, the smaller corporations, which to me
smaller
is not
businesses.
Small.
He was basically a small business, yeah.
Well,
I consider 200 employees a small business.
Going abroad, you know, and it's that's what has happened in a huge effect across the whole nation. Most of our major, including the car makers,
yeah.
Look, you know, Obama pulled out. He did a good job with bailing out General Motors, but you know,
I agree.
Chrysler and they basically
they make something. The banks didn't make anything.
Right. Well, and right now, I think what's going on that's so awfully tragic is the fact that people are being pushed aside. But over all of this finagling and business here or business there, at the same time, business has continued, and it's continued and spread like a virus that is creating dirt and volatile pollution and destroying our natural resources quicker and quicker by every day. And basically, I see that as the large, nasty evilness that you were talking about, Oscar, with corporations. They do not care. They care about one thing, which is profiteering. And it's not just American business. It's not just huge America's. Most large corporations now are multinational, and they're profiting. They're, as Dusty was saying, that 2%, their boards are the ones who are getting the major profits, and the people at the bottom. I mean, if you see the pictures of children in Indonesia who are living at the base of these huge junk heaps taking apart our old electronics and dying of the acid and chemicals that are trapped in our old computers. It's just tragic. And not only that, but it's our oceans are close to 40% in shutdown right now. The Gulf
Hang on
Stream,
a minute. Just kind of stop you for a moment. You
sure.
Mentioned about children in Indonesia. If you're going to say,
yeah.
Well, we're not going to allow our factories to be opened in those kind of places, isn't that sort of like a bit of a contradiction? You're saying, well, I care about the children in Indonesia, but the way to perhaps help the children in Indonesia would be to allow American companies to open their factories in Indonesia to employ those children. So, you know...
It would be a great idea if the Indonesian government, as well as the American government and the French government and the Canadian government and every government on the planet, had the same idea, including China. Of course, China is getting the bums rush on everybody else right now as far as alternative energy goes and cleaning the atmosphere. But the point is, industry is a global thing. An industry, it can't.
You just said you don't want
thing.
It to be, though. You don't want it to be global. You want it to be nationalist.
Well, I
do. I'm sorry, I do. I believe that we should watch our own.
I believe that we should, because
for every job that's shipped out of the United States, most of them are going to China. She's talking about recycling efforts. She's speaking to when they send those old computers, what they're doing is they're sending computers with all that nasty stuff in it, and they're sending them to slag heaps in Indonesia. Yeah, and those people get paid pennies to glean anything usable out of them. But I am a nationalist in the fact that I believe. Yeah, there's no. That's why there's no safety regulations.
Right, and that's the point I'm trying to make is about the safety regulations and the overall health of the planet. I'm not a nationalist that way, myself. I'm concerned about all of the world, not just America. So, and I know Dusty is too, but she's concerning herself politically with basically what's, I think that our American politics have a great deal to say about what the rest of the world is doing. So I think it all comes to bear. I think what's going on in the EU and what's going on in Britain come to bear on this issue too. We're all responsible.
Another point about shipping jobs out, outsourcing our jobs is that China has a tax on any American-made product that goes into their country. That's a very huge tax. I mean, I don't know. I can't tell you the exact amount, but it's quite a substantial tax. But yet anything that's brought back into the United States that was made in China, we don't put a big, huge tax on that. That's why the corporations here in the United States that have outsourced all the jobs, that's why they make so much money. Because, and that's when I say I'm a nationalist, what I believe that our government should do is say, if you want to ship, if you want to outsource all of your manufacturing to China, then we're going to tax you when you bring it back in to sell it to us.
Yeah.
You have to make the decision as a corporation, which is more important. Do you want to keep jobs in the United States and employ all of the, you know, the people in your city where you hold your corporation, or do you want to make money and send them to China? Because if you're sending jobs to China, then we're going to hit you in the pocketbook, and we're going to tax it when you bring that computer or that bookcase back into the United States.
Well,
that's the only way to get around it.
Yeah, I do sort of agree with you, really. I mean, I'm something of a nationalist myself and a bit of a believer in protectionism. I think it's unfortunate, but it has to be done.
Because they're making so much money. Yeah, they're making so much money. And so if they've made the conscious decision, which they have, to outsource all the jobs, then they need to have a tax put on them when they bring that cheap good back into the United States and they sell it at a price that's, you know, that fills their coffers. That's personally my belief. I'm not saying I speak for Gwen or any other person on the left.
Well,
I think the reason they get away with that is,
what did you say, Oscar? I'm sorry, I talked over you.
I didn't think nationalism and protectionism was a traditional left-wing policy, particularly.
They probably aren't, but that's just me as an individual.
Yeah.
And I'm only saying that because I've seen so many jobs leave the United States on a personal standpoint. So I've become more of a nationalist or protectionist because that's the only way to hit the corporations in their pocketbook is to tax them when they bring those goods back in from China and try to sell them to the United States population.
Plus, I believe there's the misperception that jobs are outsourced in order to keep a company viable and alive. You know, if that is the case, then I think that might be the only alternative. But in most cases, it's done it for the bottom line. They can save on wages. They don't have the kind of to pay insurance or benefits. They don't have.
No, that's right. You're right. That's big corporations. Yes.
Yeah.
No, you're right. I agree with you.
Yeah. More dividends, bonuses. So that's why, you know, I agree with saying, well, then tax the stuff when it comes back so it doesn't make it profitable for them to outsource.
That is the role of government, though, isn't it? That it is the role of government to regulate those companies. You can't expect corporations to regulate themselves. If there is an opportunity there for them to make more money by doing that,
I agree.
I
think that's right. I would like to think that a consumer, a very well-informed consumer, could make that choice and say, well, Company A is outsourcing their jobs for profit. Company B keeps the employers here. I'm going to buy the stuff here. But I don't think we're...
No, that's impractical, isn't it?
Society has not been impacted until the last couple of years with the ramifications of that kind of purchasing, of that kind of not paying attention to the politics, of that kind of not caring about the resources and where they're coming from and what they're doing to your environment. My problem with all of it is that most of the corporations in business right now have to be shut down anyway, or we're on species extinction. So that's my point of view. And I don't think I'm being dramatic at all in saying that. There's plenty of people world over that, you know, we're talking about climate change and the real problem of a Earth that can't sustain humanity as it is right now. That's reality, too.
Do you think we shouldn't have any oil, then?
I think we'd better damn well get off it right now. And I think everybody can make a choice to go in a direction if they really want to make that happen quicker. I think we purchase. We have a power to purchase. And we have
okay, when I went out, when I went out to buy a car, I was going to buy a Prius. I wanted to buy a car that I didn't have to worry about using gas. And those cars are so overpriced, it's ridiculous. I couldn't afford to buy one, so I had to buy a smaller American car that was only a four-cylinder, but it still runs 100% on gas. You know, it's not that easy to go green, and it's very expensive to go green.
Yeah, they still require energy. Even an electric car requires energy that's usually fueled ultimately from fossil fuels, whether it be oil or coal.
That's all perfectly true, but you have to make choices. We're responsible for our choices. And if you work every day, why can't, you know, you can make choices to either use mass transit or to carpool. There are ways and ways to make choices in your own life to be greener. And often takes, you know, a bit of it takes a bit of sacrifice. But the point is, without this, if you have any children, I would tell you to look to your children and the future they do not have. Your grandchildren do not have. Because that's
this,
reality.
This is the same principle, though. This is what we were just talking about a moment ago, about you're not going to get people to pay two or three times the price for something that's made in America if they can buy the same
exactly.
sort of thing being made in China. You're going to get the same thing. You can't expect people to voluntarily give up cars and all start riding on horses again. I mean, we could do it.
So it all falls down. It's going to all fall down. It's what you're saying. It's the only alternative there is all fall down, really.
I mean, how do
the other alternative is that they find a way to make these things less expensive so that Joe and Jill Main Street can afford them. Because I really had my heart set on buying an alternative engine, an alternative fuel vehicle, and I couldn't afford it, even a used one. I would go as far back as when they started making the Priuses, and I still couldn't afford it. They still wanted over 15 grand for a Prius that was over 5 years old. I ended up buying a car for 15 grand that was only 3 years old.
Right.
You know,
I understand your practicality.
Yeah.
My point is based in a reality that isn't going to work for a lot longer. It's not working right now on the very bottom of the ecosystem. It's not.
No, I understand,
that's
and that's
real.
Why I was so bound and determined, because I am very, and I totally agree with your position on everything as far as the ecology, but my point is that the reality is that as hard as I tried,
people
and I looked for 3 months to find an alternative vehicle that I could afford at 15 grand, I couldn't find one that wasn't like 5 years old,
right.
Which that's too old. I'm not buying anything.
Right.
I'm not paying that kind of money for something that old.
It's true, and that's why people are don't want to hear what you have to tell them about poisons and petroleum in the ocean and all that kind of stuff, and it's very easy for the media to skip right past it, right by it, and say, hey, just go shopping. 9/11, go shopping.
And then groceries.
You know,
I would like to buy nothing but organic groceries.
Oh God,
those things are through the
were.
Roof. Those things are too expensive. You know, I end up eating meat that's been injected with, you know, 800 different kinds of chemicals because it lives in a box and they don't want it to get sick before they sell it and cut it up. So I can afford a 99-cent a pound injected chicken, but I can't afford $3 a pound range-fed chicken. You know, it's all in how, you know, the reality of your financial situation is, and it all comes back, you know, full circle in that respect. that we can talk about going green all we want, but until we make it affordable,
expensive.
It's not going to happen.
It's a lot more expensive in Western Europe to purchase petroleum and food.
Yes, it is, because they pass on every single cost that it takes to put that gas in your car. We don't do that. We don't do that at all in the United States. That's why so many people in Europe use the mass transit, where we've never been raised like that. And I'm not going to give up my car, not at 59 years old. I'm not going to give up my car and start taking a bus because I live in an area that doesn't have good public transportation. I couldn't get anywhere if I tried to do that. I'd be sitting for an hour and a half on the curb waiting for a bus just so I could go down and buy some groceries.
I hear you. People are making choices, and we have all along. And those choices are coming back. The karma is a little bit quicker every day. And it shows up. I think it's going to begin to show up more and more. And most the pinpoint of where it's showing up the quickest is within our political systems. There isn't one on the planet right now that is not involved in some kind of shakeup. Did you know that?
No, you're right.
I
know that.
Even Bali. I mean, every government on the planet is going through. I mean, and England's going through its street riots and demonstrations with students and common people that are just fed up and saying, forget about it, you know?
Because people are practicing their own form of protectionism. They're saying, I'm not giving the government any more of my money because I'm afraid I'm not going to have any money next week. So I don't care
right.
if the kid two blocks down has health insurance. I don't care if he does.
Yeah,
and I'm being
scared,
totally
you're
honest
right.
with you. I don't feel that way personally, but I'm saying that this is from a perspective of just somebody who has to make it in life.
I don't think that all the people who are getting out in the streets, especially the younger ones, I don't think they're all doing it from a place of personal fear, just they're coming out. I think a lot of it, there's a certain segment of it that is just saying, taking a look, a read at what's going on in the world and saying, enough, we've had it. We're kind of scared there isn't going to be one. I mean, that element is there. I just take a drive up the road here, and people are being arrested in Orlando in a park because they are feeding the homeless.
Well, that's happening everywhere, yeah.
Yeah, but they're being, I haven't heard about it too much.
It happens in Las Vegas. I can tell you right now from personal experience, I know it happens in Las Vegas, yeah. They pass city ordinances that it's against the law to feed the homeless in the public park.
But it's that's wrong. That's just
I know it's wrong.
Wrong. And people are tired of those things. Those issues are coming to bear. I think that those issues, they're cultural, they're social, but they're coming to bear. They're coming around, and folks are grasping them right now. I don't know how far it's going to go as far as voting is concerned.
It's like I told Osa today, it's coming down to class warfare. It's going to be two classes. It's going to be the haves and the have-nots. And the haves will be comprised of the 2% of the population, and the have-nots will be comprised of the other 98, because that's the way the wealth is distributed in the United States. You know, and that's why his piece, going circle back to that, was so timely today on Roundtree 7, because people, until it hits people in their pocketbook, they're not paying attention. And once it hits you in your pocketbook, then you start watching the news, and then you start looking for alternative news sources because you go, that guy's feeding me a line of shit. Everything isn't fine. So then people start looking. That's why my sister finally started asking me questions, because she said, we can't afford our health insurance anymore. Yes, we make a lot of money, but you know what? It's taken a bigger chunk out of, I can't go on vacation this year because my health insurance is costing me, you know, $8,000 more a year. So, to which I go, boo-hoo, bitch. But you know what? She's finally starting to pay attention. And that's why we have to get the people in the middle to pay attention, because it's finally starting to affect them.
What it really comes down to, this is just my personal opinion, it's about human rights and health and clean environment and food on the table are human rights. to humanity. I don't think that everybody needs to have a reason, like a paycheck. That's a reason. Money in the bank.
But that's the majority of the population. Most people aren't political like you and I are, Gwen. They're not. They don't care about politics. They don't care. They just want to go to work. They want to make their salary. They want to come home and they want to spend it and enjoy their free time.
But they aren't going to work. They aren't making a salary and they aren't coming home and enjoying their free time. The perfect example is Jack Jodell. You know, and he's been out of work I think he's a 99er. People are not going back to work, and it's more people than
will
tell you that it is.
No, that's true.
You know?
But then there's that middle class that's slowly disappearing and eroding. That's why it will come down, because there are three classes. There's the poor, there's the middle, and then there's the rich. And nobody cares. Nobody ever addresses the needs of the poor because they're not in that population. The vast majority of the United States up until the last 2 years was in the middle class. That's who everybody pandered to. And then things started switching around once the bottom fell out.
The poor have been addressed, though. They always have been addressed by certain programs, certain government programs.
Yeah, but even Bill Clinton cut off welfare. Even Bill Clinton put in the most stringent reforms on welfare that were ever put in since Johnson created the program. So Bill Clinton was a damn Democrat, and he put in time limits on welfare. He put on limits on how much you could get, and once your kids reached a certain age, you had to go back to work or you would stop getting welfare.
With a substantial economy, you can get away with that with a substantial economy.
Yes, with a substantial economy, that's correct, and that's why nobody really bitched when Bill Clinton screwed the poor, because
right.
That's what he did. That's what Bill Clinton did, was he screwed the poor, but we were in a good economy, and Bill Clinton also had a 10% higher tax bracket on the rich than we have in the last 10 years, because Bush took the tax bracket down for the rich. He took it down by what, 8 or 10%, whatever it was, I don't remember. But, you know, my point being, which this is where you and I will agree on things, we just disagree on how to institute it, is, you know, the middle class is disappearing. It's going to come down to just two classes, the rich and the poor, because there isn't going to be a well-off middle class anymore. And then that goes back to Osso's piece today where he said, you know, everybody's sitting around and watching the revolution, but nobody's going to take part in it, you know. But people will eventually have to. When people like my sister and my brother-in-law finally lose their jobs, the people in the upper middle class, that's when everybody will have to start paying attention, because those are the people that are going to be walking down the signs down the street carrying signs. And it's only until those people get involved.
Civil rights. It's not how they got civil rights, you know? It wasn't when the middle class began to pay attention. So there is the idea that this can make motion without it having to, you know, address everybody who hasn't lost everything yet, because that can take a while, and by the time that happens, of course, there might not be anything to make a motion against.
I do follow what you're saying, but, you know, you and I just, you know, we agree on 99% of the issues. There's certain fine elements of it that you and I don't agree on, and that's, you know, but that's what's so crazy about the left, is that hurting the left is like, or hurting Democrats, even just if you put it generally, is like hurting cats. There's so many different factions of the people who are left of the center that you can't get us all to walk in lockstep, because we all have our own ideas and we all have our own reasons for why we believe like we do, whereas the right-wing branch of the Republican Party has taken over the entire Republican Party, and that's why everything's going to hell in a handbasket. That's why I believe.
The right-hander conservative wing, the Republicans that are now actually...
I don't even call them conservative. Those are the ones I call the right-wing nutters.
Right. The neocons.
Yeah, the neocons. My father is a conservative. Those guys are neocons.
There's very few Bruce Bartletts out there on the right, too.
I'm sorry?
There's very few Bruce Bartletts on the right who break from the ranks and...
That's my point.
Yeah, talk about how crazy that is. In fact, those guys are vilified and ostracized, whereas kind of like you said with her against the Democrats, you know, there's people
we're
don't
so
have
split. We're
questions.
So fractured.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're so
yeah.
fractured, the Democrat. Anybody who's left of the center, there's that's like when in the protests we have that we had in the 60s and the 70s and the 80s. When you, if you went to a left-wing protest, you saw 50 different groups there, everything from conspiracy believers to, you know, to anything in between that and
the
center. But the Tea Party,
like
they all walk in lockstep. They all walk in lockstep.
But
you know,
there's a lot of folks that would say, Dusty, that that's not actually true. A lot of the Tea Party people that you speak to individually or they interview individually, I mean, not just the group that went to see Glenn Beck, okay, the people who are trying very hard to make some sense out of the people that they elected into the House of Representatives that are not paying off for them. There are a lot of people out there in the Tea Party, and I know there aren't many, and I'm not trying to take up their flag at all. I'm just saying that they're very much like what you're describing the left side of the aisle to be. There's a whole lot of different factions amongst them. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but it's not quite as well publicized, and what I've read and seen of their demonstrations, they all seem to be pretty much on the same page. Whereas if you go to a left-wing demonstration, you see everything and anything that's left of the center. And because we are a broader base, then it's a very small, shallow, specific base on the right, whereas the left is a very broad, expansive base that includes so many people with different beliefs. You know, that's like I tried to say about you and I. We agree on a lot of basic premises the same, but when you start getting down to the nitty-gritty, that's where you and I find out, well, we don't agree on this. We don't agree on this, you know. So that's why it's so hard to organize the left like they are organizing the right. And the Republicans are controlling the right, you know, because of big money like the Koch brothers. You know, they start what they call a grassroots organization, but the reality is it's AstroTurf. It's AstroTurf. It's what you call an AstroTurf group.
You're saying that the propaganda is working on a significant number of voters.
It is. It is working on it. That's why the Tea Party actually thinks it's a grassroots organization, but it's controlled by a very small group of millionaires who are running groups like, God, what are some of those? I'm not even thinking of Tea Party ones, but the
Americans
ones with the Koch
brothers. Freedom,
yeah.
Or whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah.
Yeah, that's an AstroTurf group. They call themselves a grassroots organization, but when you drill down to who's controlling the money and who's giving the money, it's guys like the Koch brothers who are controlling the guys they put on MSNBC on Tweety's show, you know, that like God, I can't think of it offhand. Anyway, I have to go. I've been on the phone with you guys for a long time, and I've been hogging the conversation. So I'll tune in next Sunday, and I hope you guys have a good evening.
Take care, Dusty.
Thank you for coming on board tonight.
All right, you guys take care. Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye. We are basically down to the last few minutes of the show. Oscar, did we give you an idea of how confusing American politics are?
Well, yes, it's all interesting. I mean, I just like thrashing around these ideas. I think it makes it a bit more interesting as well for a radio show, which is what this is, if there are people that are debating ideas from different sides.
Yeah, and so it's very important.
A cliche, perhaps, to say, well, you've got one guy on the left and one guy on the right. I don't know about that, but rather than just a happy little throng of people all agreeing with one another and slapping each other on the back, I think it's nice to have some people in there that do interject with questions and challenge some of the ideas that the main group perhaps is putting forward. I mean, that's true.
And Dusty is very good at making a point, especially from the left or Democrat, really solid Democrat side of the street. She's making some very solid arguments. But basically, as she said, there are a lot of different factions on the left side of the road than there are on the right. And she's also correct when she says that the right-hand side of the road is being correctly propagandized, and and people are following in lockstep, which is, you know, an unfortunate thing.
You were just mentioning the Tea Party just then, and you were saying, well, is it grassroots, or is it something that's funded by these Koch brothers?
I have to make a correction here on air. Dusty is not a Democrat. She's anything but Democrat or Republican. I forget what the name of that was, and if she'll type it out, I'll mention it. I'm sorry, Oscar. What were you?
In California, you can be declined a state, and you're an independent.
Declined. There you go. That's wonderful.
Yeah, that's what I do, too.
Well, I think that's what I would be as well, because I don't think either of the parties, either of the two mainstream parties, and the same applies here in the UK for me, that neither of the two parties really have sufficient to offer me that I would want to vote for them. I don't think they have any ideas that are going to be practical in resolving any of the problems that the nation has. But if I just could ask you about the Tea Party there that you were talking about, does it really matter whether it's a grassroots uprising or whether it's actually funded by some rich guys in Metropolis or whatever it is that where these people are supposedly living?
On the other side of the street, yeah.
Yeah. Isn't the most important thing the ideas that they are putting forward? And I mean, if they're putting forward ideas that are practical, that would save the country, the country's in a mess. So,
the problem with that was and I think that Oso can chime in here too, but the Tea Party is, and this is another thing that Dusty was saying, is that among the Tea Party people, there's that masthead that's run by the Koch brothers and a great big old storefront, if you will. Behind the facade of the Tea Party storefront are all these little factions running around who don't agree on everything and are just as really disjointed in many ways as the left side of the road can be.
What do you see as being wrong with what the Tea Party say? Tell me something which you think that you've heard the Tea Party people say, which you disagree with, and why do you disagree with it? Explain that to me.
If I could chime in here real quick, Oscar,
sure.
the way I see it is the Tea Party, I should say, they would like to undo a lot of the progress which was done under the New Deal. So under the New Deal, under Roosevelt, we got Social Security, the TVA, we got
the WPA.
Yeah, WPA. We got a lot of things which essentially helped to bring the lower class workers into the middle class, and it kind
built
of
the country.
Raised everything up. And they would like to turn the clock back and take away most of those gains.
Okay.
In order to kind of force the money back to the smaller 1 or 2% and kind of take away what built the middle class and force those people back down into the lower class.
Okay, I'm trying to understand what you're saying here.
Basically what they began with was they are sick and tired of the federal deficit, the federal debt.
Okay, so that's federal. It's not. That's not.
Well,
that's not the corporations. It's not corporations. They're not.
No, they're definitely not about anti-corporation, if you will. They have no idea what disaster capitalism or the shock doctrine would be about or any of that kind of elegance. Well, basically what they're, and that was probably, I shouldn't have segued there. What I think they're really, what they're saying is, what their biggest gist was and why they formed was when you got any of them on unlike the talk shows, to say what they stood for. It was about being overtaxed and being, you know, living in a country that was so far in debt because of, and they didn't say it was because of war or anything like that. What they said was just that taxes were too high and they were taxed without being basically given the right to say no about these taxes because our deficit is so high. And that is from what I can remember. Also,
yeah, it's a lot of the way I see it too. Much of our debt that really ballooned was we waged war and cut taxes at the same time. So, you know, that greatly increased spending and greatly decreased federal revenue. And so it's, you know, the Tea Party will try to paint the problem with the debt not due to the war or military spending, not due to tax cuts, but money spent on social services, which is a minuscule amount, but they'll pound away at, let's say there's some government workers who lie about overtime, or welfare recipients possibly getting
Medicare, Medicaid,
yeah, something
Social
they don't
Security,
qualify for.
All
illegal
of the
aliens.
Social programs.
Yeah.
Oh, and immigration, yeah.
Immigrants coming here maybe getting medical care that they might not legally qualify for. Small things, but they'll magnify them, so it seems as if that's what caused the debt. You know, it's the Mexicans, and it's the lazy people, and it's poor people, when there's actually, really, it's the military-industrial complex. There's subsidies
and
big corporations.
The state of Georgia, he actually got all the immigrants to leave the state, the guy they elected there, and now the farmers are losing all their crops because nobody's there to harvest.
Well, it's created job opportunities, hasn't it?
It should, but most Americans don't want to do those.
Well, that's their fault, though, isn't it? I mean, come on.
Yes,
if the opportunity is there, if they're refusing to take
those
jobs, then, well, you know, come on. You can't sort of say, well, they're...
I hate to say this, but yeah. I actually only have about a moment left of airtime tonight. And I really appreciate you calling in, Oscar. I hope you'll return and call in again and ask us any questions.
Thank you, Oscar.
Crampled your
brow. I'll try to do that. Yeah.
Nice hearing from
your
you, Oscar.
Brains.
Cheers.
I also want to thank Oso. Thank you so much. And also Beach for showing up. That was really great. And so was Dusty. We might not agree on the way to twist and turn down the road, but we're going to get in the same car. So I really appreciate her coming on and giving her opinion and also making it clear about a lot of stuff because, you know, it sometimes takes a driving conversation to really make the points. So all appreciations to Dusty, too, and everybody else who stopped by this evening, especially our good pal Michael Hugh. Thanks, Mike Hugh, for stopping in. Also, great post, and you all can read the post over at roundtree7, and that's the number 7.com. And the name of the post is "The Revolution Was Televised, But Most Only Watched." And it's a really wonderful piece to read. It has a lot to offer. Thanks a lot, buddy, for stopping in. Appreciate it.
Always a pleasure.
And as always, we are sponsored by Roundtree 7 and Daughters of ISIS. Products. We don't have time for the commercial. We're going to end it off right now, and I thank you all for listening. I hope you will listen again next week. Don't have a guest as of yet, but we're going that way. Anyways, boy, I hate that broad. She gets on there and she just rings in my ear. Anyways, I got the big high sign. Good night, everybody. Have a great week.